Hello, I'm glad to be with you today as we study from God's Word. We hope you'll stay with us because we're going to be talking about a woman taken in adultery, and we're going to be talking about the lessons that we learn from the incident found in John chapter 8, verses 1 and following. I'd like to read that with you. This is about people trying to put Jesus on the spot, and they caught this woman in the act of committing adultery, and they bring her to Jesus to see what he will say to do about her. Let's begin reading John 8, verse 1. Jesus went out into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone after her. Now he's quoting Deuteronomy 17 and 7. They brought up the law about stoning the woman. Jesus brought up the law about if you're without sin, let him cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No, my Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a beautiful account, but how embarrassing and how shameful for the woman to be caught in the very act of adultery. But there's something kind of strange about this. If she was caught in the very act, why did they not bring the man? Why did they only bring the woman? If it was an act of adultery, that means evidently that the woman had a husband. But they only did this to expose Jesus. This is what this was about. It was not about keeping the law of Moses. It was about embarrassing Jesus and making Jesus look bad. But Jesus, in his first response, did not respond. He wrote on the ground. Sometimes people say, well, what did he write on the ground? Well, no one knows, and no one will ever know. It is not to be known, because if it was, it would be in the Bible. It is kept from us, not to be guessed at. Let's keep our opinions to ourselves, because no one knows why he wrote on the ground or even what he wrote on the ground. But what lessons do we learn from this great account? Well, we learn, first of all, sin is shameful. Sin is shameful. And this is the battle all of us face. We try to fight against sin, but sometimes we give in to sin, don't we? That's why Jesus shed his blood. That's why we have God's grace and God's mercy, is because we sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common among men. But God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will, with that temptation, also make a way of escape." Sin is bad. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. And the sin of adultery is a very serious sin. Under the law of Moses, they were to stone her. That's why they were bringing her. Leviticus 20, and verse number 10, the guilty parties were to be stoned. Furthermore, in the New Testament, we learn that people who commit adultery and fornication and other sins, the Bible says they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." This is a serious sin because it'll keep you out of heaven. It'll cause you to be cast down into hell. It is called in Galatians 5 and 19 a work of the flesh. And we learn from this account that this woman committed adultery. It was a very serious sin. It is a sin against God. And 1 Corinthians 6 verses 13 through 18 says it is a sin against our own body. It is furthermore not only a sin against God and against our own body, but it is a sin against our spouse. If we commit adultery, we have sinned against our own spouse, and that allows our spouse to have a reason to put us away if we're guilty of adultery. Matthew 19 and 9, "Whosoever shall commit adultery is a person who is a candidate for being divorced." Listen to this. "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." It's a shameful sin. And it is never, ever right. It is a sin for which we will lose our souls. I want to read a passage here from Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to this. It says, verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Or how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." We need to consider that adultery is never, ever right. It may be committed millions of times every day. And yes, it's on the movies and it's on our television. But if you commit a sin, you're going to be lost if that sin is unforgiven. You may hide it from everybody, but you cannot hide it from God. Proverbs 15 and 3 says, "God sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." So one of the lessons that we learn from this event was that sin is not good. Number two, we learn the importance of being slow to speak. And did you notice that Jesus didn't answer right away? But he stooped down and began to write on the ground. He didn't answer them right away. He was slow to speak. That's what the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 19. We're to be slow to speak. And we're not to answer accusations necessarily right away. Listen to Proverbs 26 verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened unto him. These people were fools. The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. I believe Jesus followed that instruction. He didn't answer them right away. But they kept on asking him and kept on asking him. Well, the next verse in Proverbs 26 is verse 5. It then says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So there are times when we don't answer fools, but there are times when we do answer fools, and that's what Jesus did. These men were not looking for the truth. They were not looking for justice. They had evil in their hearts, and their focus was not on the woman, but their focus was on Jesus. They were trying to tempt him and trying to stump him, get him to say something that they could accuse him of. But Jesus told his disciples what to expect when he sent them out on the limited commission. And I'd like to read that. Now, this is what Jesus did. Matthew 10, beginning in verse number 12. Jesus informed his disciples when he was going to send them out on a preaching mission. Here's what he said. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your presence come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or the city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Jesus was teaching and warning about these very people. And Jesus was dealing with them. And so at first he did not answer them. But then he did. And so we learn the importance of the seriousness of sin. Sin's serious. God had sinners in the Old Testament stoned. But we also learn that we don't have to answer right away. We can think about our answers, and sometimes it's better not even to answer. But in the next place, we learn that Jesus did not condone the sin of the woman. He didn't say, don't worry about that. You're all right. No, he didn't say that. Some people think, oh, because of this passage here, then sin's not all that serious. Now don't come up with that. He did not say, don't worry about your sin. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say, take sin lightly. He didn't say that. He didn't say it wasn't your fault. You know what? Jesus is going to die for that woman's sin. He knows he's going to die for her sins so that she can have her sins forgiven. He was going to die for that woman. He was going to die for her accusers. Jesus does not take sin lightly. He's going to suffer upon the cross for 6 long hours and for her forgiveness, so that she could be forgiven for her adultery, for my sins and for your sins. He died on the cross. He doesn't take sin lightly. And so he told the woman to go and sin no more. Go and I don't condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now the Bible says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, shall we continue to sin? Continue. Can we keep on sinning that grace may abound? And here's one of the strongest negatives you can read in your Bible. It says, God forbid. Shall we continue to sin? No, don't sin. God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? The woman was in a lost condition. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and 23. Sin is an abomination to God. God hates sin, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. The Bible record is clear. Many people that we read about in the Bible were destroyed, and they were destroyed because of their sins. Some were destroyed in war. Some was destroyed by fire and brimstone. Some were destroyed by a flood. God destroyed nations. God destroyed cities like the city of Jericho and the nation of the Amalekites. God destroyed armies such as the Philistine army and the Midianite army. God destroyed them. And as we mentioned, the world was once destroyed because of sin. Jesus was not taking sin lightly. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed with fire and brimstone. Very burning death. And there is a hell, and sinners will be lost in that hell. Revelation 21 and verse 8 speaks of hell as a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and ungodly people and unrighteous people, sinners of all kinds, will be cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We learn that Jesus did not condone sin. There is absolutely no way around this truth. Jesus did not approve of her sin. Jesus is against sin. Our world takes sin too lightly. There is no passage that can be found that says some sins are okay and some sins are not okay. There's no passage like that at all in the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that says some sins are white and some sins are black. Some sins are serious and some sins are not. Nothing in the Bible like that. There's nothing in the Bible that says some sins you'll be lost for and some sins you won't be lost for. Nothing at all in the Bible like that. We're going to be lost because of sin. What kind of sin? Well, all sin. There's no good sin, no bad sin. All sin is bad. We learned that lesson. And it's an important lesson. And we need to really mark that down in our memories. But in the next place, we learn that Jesus seeks to save the lost. He doesn't want this woman to die in her sins. He says, I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, Jesus came for that purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19 and verse number 10. He died so that his enemies, you and I, so that sinners could be justified. Romans 5, verses 6 through 12. Jesus came to seek those who are corrupted by sin. He came to save the publicans, Luke 19, Zacchaeus. And also he saved Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Christ came to save those kinds of people. Christ came to save harlots. Remember in the Old Testament, Rahab? She was saved from destruction. Why is that? God wants to save the sinner. Now, she could not continue committing harlotry. She had to stop that. But God came to save the lost. The righteous do not need his salvation. The wicked do. The sinners do. And he saved sorcerers. Acts 8, there was Simon the sorcerer. Acts 19, in the city of Ephesus, they burned their books of witchcraft and sorcery. God came to save those who would deny him. Peter denied Jesus Christ in the last verses of Matthew 26, but Christ came to save him. Christ came to save those who were persecutors, blasphemers, and injurious, such as Saul of Tarsus, 1 Timothy 1:13 through 16. And those that put Jesus to death in Acts chapter 2, they were saved when they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel. You ought to be ashamed of sin. You ought to be embarrassed of sin. Sin is so damning. But the good news is sin can be forgiven. Blasphemy, sorcery, covetousness, sexual sins, sins of brutality, such as Saul of Tarsus, brutalizing the Lord's church, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against God's people. He was forgiven of that. That's the good news of the gospel. He told her to go and sin no more. Why'd he tell her that? Sin's serious. She gets another chance. That's the good news. That's a lesson we learn from this chapter. She's getting another chance. What a beautiful thing that is. You know, when we have sinned, we've gotten another chance too, haven't we? She was not punished on the spot. Many were. Nadab and Abihu, they were punished on the spot. Uzzah, he was punished for touching the Ark of the Covenant. And others were punished very shortly. But Jesus had mercy on her. He had mercy on her. I love Psalm 136, verses 1 through 26, where in every verse of that chapter of the book of Psalms says, God's mercy endureth forever. God's mercy endureth forever. It repeats it 26 times in those 26 verses. His mercy endureth forever. Jesus had mercy upon this woman. And you know what? He has mercy upon you. He is loving toward you. He is kind toward you. And so, sin is a bad thing. That's what we learn about in this chapter. Sin is bad. You'll be lost for sin. Christ didn't always speak up right away. He held his peace, and that's what we need to do sometimes. Christ came to seek and save the lost, and this woman, taken in a very act of adultery, something very shameful and very horrible, and I'm sure she did not want her husband to find out. You know, before we sin, we ought to ask, who do I want to find out about this sin? Do I want my spouse to find out about the sin? Do I want my children to find out about the sin? What if you committed adultery and your children found out? Somebody's going to find out about your sin. God knows everything that we do and everything that we say. Do you want the church to find out that you've sinned? God is going to find out, and that's the one that counts. You may hide it from everybody and all that you know, but God finds out about our sin. He knows when we sin. Thank you for tuning in today as we were able to discuss John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, the woman taken in adultery. We've learned some great lessons here about Christ and about sin and about God's mercy. And we want to take those with us today. Keep reading that passage. You may come up with some more lessons that we can learn from that chapter. God bless you, my friend, and thank you for listening in today. We continue to study your Bible, continue to pray each and every day. Go to all the worship assemblies of the church, Bible classes, gospel meetings, all the classes that they can. Go to gospel meetings, even if it's not at your congregation. Attend them. These things will help us to get to heaven. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We hope to be with you again. Bye for now.